So we got up to Daf Membeis Amud Beis, and we were going through the various stages of our Mishnah that talks about the general rule. It turns out to be a general rule, even though it doesn't have a single source, that something that's not gufei momayim, or something that's not mitaltel, is not included under dinim that come in the Parshas HaShomrim at all, whether it's the dinim of Shvua, or whether it's the dinim of payment, whether it's Hashem Bechinam, whether it's Hashem Besachar, whether it's Tashlumi. We're talking about the dinim of Kefal or Arba'a V'chamisha. So, we learned out, of course, earlier, the Dvarim She'en Nishboim Aleihem, that Avonim and Shtoros and Karkos are not included, and Hekdeshos, by the way. I didn't mention that, but that's true in all of them. And we talked about here the klal pradu klal that potters us from kefil, which is the alkol dvar pesha, the alshor, alchamor, alseh, alsalma, and alkol alida. But we didn't explain how you know that you don't play arba v'chamisha. That's where we were up to, I believe. Says the Gemara, v'lo arba v'chamisha, how do we know that? Simple, because once we've excluded from the time the dinim of kefal, the Torah never gave an alternative to arba v'chamisha. Since arba v'chamisha includes tashlumi kefal, so to arba v'chamisha marachmana, v'lo tashlumi shlosha v'arba, there's no such knas as a four-time, a three-time and a four-time for the shor and for the seh. There's only a four-time and a five-time. So the mela, having excluded it from kefal, we automatically exclude it from arba v'chamisha. Then we said a shomer chinam eino nishba. Now, so far we haven't discussed what the mocker is for shomer chinam b'chlal, as we've been talking about until now the din of shvua, which is its own separate parsha. And of course we have three separate parshas. So there's the shomer chinam, and we have the shomer sofer, and we have the parsha of the shoel, and then we have our iru parshas of the din of kihuzet, which sort of stands out on its own, even though it comes in the middle here. So how do we know that, as the Mishnah says, that there's no din of Shuas HaShomrim either? Not a milik. The Tanur Rabbanan, ki yiteng ish el re'eyu. It says, ki yiteng ish re'eyu kesev o kelim lishmor, v'gunav mibeit ha'ish. So we understand that the nitinat yiteng ish is called. Kesev o kelim is a prat. Lishmor would be anything that you give to be shomer. But it says, stam, ki yiteng ish lishmor. Chazar v'kalal, klal pratu klal, yata dan ela ke'in ha'prat, maha prat mefurash. Just like it's clear that this prat is, are all, Dvarim ha-mitaltelim, v'gufo mamon, av kol davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon, which excludes, as it always does, there's a stock formula over here, yatsu karkaot, sheinan mitaltelim, yatsu avadim, shukshu lekarkaot, yatsu shtarot, shahaf apishu mitaltelim, en gufan mamon, and when it comes to the exclusion of hegdesh, it's also our stock phrase of re'eu. In this case, the re'eu appears in the beginning. Yesterday it was shnaim, shalim shnaim l're'eu, but wherever there's a re'eu, it's an exclusion of hegdesh. And then we said also in the Mishnah that a shomer socher is not mishalim on a davash en gufo mamon, or that's not mitaltel. How do we know that? The Tanur Rabbanan. Well, because we have yet another parsha, just a few psukim down, which is ki yiteng ish re'eyu chamor shor seh v'chol beima lishmor umet o nishbar. So there it's referring to the din of shomer socher, who is chayiv for aveda, and over there it also has the same klal pradu klal, because it says ki yiteng, which is klal, Chamor Oshara says, the Prat, B'chol Be'ima Lishmor, is again Chazar V'Kaval Kal Prat V'Kval, Yata Daniel Erekin HaPrat. Ma Prat V'Fur is Gavra Mitaltel, V'Guf HaMoman, Avkol Donan Mitaltel, V'Guf HaMoman, go to the whole thing, Yatsu Shtarot, and until we finally get to Ad, until we get to the words Hegdesh, is excluded because it says, Yitei Nishare Eyu. So it's basically the same limo that we've had three times. One on, except that the Torah repeats it in each one of the Dinim HaShomim. Rabbi Meir Omer, yesh varim shein tekarka v'in tekarka, ketzad, we had the case where somebody tainas the sarag yefanim to udot, meaning that they're full of grapes, and the other guy says, no, it was on the chamesh, and Rabbi Meir says, well, that's not really tekarka, you would be nishba on that. Now, it's what Rabbi Meir is saying is that real estate means literally real estate, and anything that's connected to the ground is not real estate because it's basically disconnectable. Is that what he's saying? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Because the cloud of Rabbi Meir saw a column of kubel karka eno kikarka. It can't mean that, because then if that's what it meant, why talk about anavim? Talk about the grapes that are on doti batzer. You might as well talk about the Gifanim themselves. So it asks the Gemara, then Adamif Lagebetu'unot, instead of talking about the grapes on Latin vines, Lifagebetu'ukot, why not talk about empty vines? And what's the din about the vines? No, of course Rebbe Meir doesn't hold anything of the sort. Things that are connected to the ground, homes, and plants, and stuff, that's all real estate. The point over here is that we're talking about Gifanim Tu'unot in the sense that they're Anavim Omdot Libatzer. He's trying to say they're hanging all the way down. In other words, the grapes are ripe, ready to be picked. And over here, Rebbe Meir Savar, that the anavim omdot libatzer gifitzurot damyan, it's as if they're already picked. Verabanan savri lo gifitzurot damyan, that's not considered in these halachas to be essentially picked. Now, this is not, as Tosfos points out, it's not generally a klal that because they argue here, they would argue with everything. And as I say, Lagabe picking a grape on Shabbos. I mean, when he holds it, it's not called picking a grape on Shabbos because it's omdot libatzer. I mean, that's not the point. We're not saying that it's not connected and it's not ka'okir dover megidulo. I mean, that's basically the malacha that's said in the Torah, the malacha for the samamonim in the Mishkan was that way. We certainly weren't talking about picking things that weren't ripe. But the idea of it, each sugya has its own criteria when you're talking about the tzad hashava. The question of yours is whether it fits into the protein, the tzad hashava of the protein. That's all. There's other cases also. Let's say the idea of a collection where you can collect from karka. You have a lien on karka. So over there, it seems that everybody agrees that things that are already harvestable is not part of a lien. But that's because of the nature of a lien. So it's not just some kind of magical kind of idea that, well, you know, if it's connected or that that's what they're arguing. They're arguing in the Hatzama to the Klal Prado Klal over here.
So, we, like in the same world.
And what?
According to every man, the same world, it would be the Hatzama.
Yes, it would be Nogay also. Not necessarily. Not without the outfits of the next same world. Not necessarily good to say. In fact, the Gemara discusses the next same world. Ein Nishbaim, Ela Al Davar, Shebimidav, Shebimishkal. And then we said to a case that if a guy says, this house was full of wheat, he says, no, it wasn't full of wheat. That's not considered to be a davar shebimishkal, shebimidan. Omer abaye lo shana lo omer li bayit stam. That's only if he just said a house. Because a house is not a measurement. Because the guy would have said, this house, I don't know if the house could be siloed, but this building here was full of grain, and now it's not full. So if you would have said that, so then, I mean, we can always measure it. I mean, what do you mean it's not a davar shebimidan? It's a davar shebimidan because it's this house, whatever this house holds. So then if he says, by zemale, then yediya ta'anate, then it's very well defined what is ta'an. I mean, it may require some work, but it certainly is well defined. Omale Rava said, Rava, that can't be true because ihachi, if you were right, then the Mishnah would have been better constructed by simply saying, instead of the case that it does say, which is, Adatani Sefer, instead of saying in the Sefer the case of, quote, Ze Omer Ad Haziz, Ze Omer Ad Achalon, that when they're arguing about how high the grain was piled in this house, there's a question, did it come up to the korot, or did it come up to the window ledge? Then in that case, you would be chayav. Why did we need to mention the question of whether it came up to point A or point B? Why couldn't the Mishnah simply say, but medevar mamurim, but buy it? If it's only in a case where a guy just simply said a house, but if he would have specified the house, buy it there, then he would have been fired because the guy is saying, no, it's only what you see is what you get. That's it. You can't have more than that. That's all you gave me. I never walked in here. So then that would be okay, right? But it isn't. Clearly the Mishnah had to specify a case in which both parties were talking about a very specific measurable thing. So therefore, says Rava, it isn't true what a buyer would say. Elama Rava la olam eno chayav hach yit anenu b'davar shebimidav v'shebimishkal v'shebiminyan v'yodelo b'davar shebimidav v'shebimishkal v'shebiminyan. The point is that the reason that we contrast the ziz and the chalon is because the person's response also has to be measurable. So this is one way of learning. I think it's most, I mean, this is the way Rimi Gash learns, and it's one of Tosfos' approaches as well. That the problem, what Rav is introducing in the problem, is not that he disagrees that the bayit zeh may be well defined, but what he's saying is that the response isn't well defined. So if the response would have been, well, it was only until this line, fine, then that would have been okay. But already once we're talking about that. So we now contrast Zomer ad Aziz and Zomer ad Achalon, even though we ought to be able to say by Zeh. And the other one says, well, it was by Zeh, but only up until the Chalon. It's already more complicated.
Now, not everybody agrees with that. You can see why not. Because, in other words, the Kiddush of Rava is that the Hoda'ah also has to be well defined.
And indeed, he adds in the Ad Sheyodelo, the Davar Shemim Davshimi, which is Mashma,
but that's his main Kiddush. Because the Hoda'ah has to be well defined too.
Problem with this, of course, is then why did we have to specify Zomer Aziz and Zomer Achalon? And the truth is that there's another approach here, which is that the Tziyah itself of Bayitzeh is not well defined. Because you cannot define what you mean by malay. You say Bayitzeh malay is vague. Because what is malay? I mean, how well packed is it when you say malay? It literally, it doesn't have a centimeter on top. Or does, I mean, so therefore it's the case would be specifically ad haziz or ad hakalon. Both sides you would hold are not well defined. It's interesting. The Rambam paskins both directions, which is really strange.
So in other words, milk container varies malay.
No, milk container is malay. It's a standard, but advice there's no standard. So I mean, the Rambam paskins both. You know, notice he brings both examples. Somebody would say, you know, the Bayitzeh. It could be that he's just using the Lashon of the Gemara, but it isn't clear from him whether he's talking about Tosis' Pshat or Tosis' other Pshat of the Rimi Gash or Tosis' other Teret.
Isn't
that
the answer? Because it says Kis, because it's also, the Gemara doesn't mention the Kis there, Malay. And there's no correlation between other Halal and Aziz with the Kis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, could that not be that seems to suggest that it's not just the measurement, it's not just the defining backwards the measurement. The kiss itself is a measurement in a way. There's more measurement.
No, I think the problem with the kiss is that it's not an amount. Over there, you run into a different problem. Because you didn't send me what did you have in there? Silver dollars? You had an amount? Well, you know, you're not giving me an amount. You should be talking about money there. Yeah. So tell me how much money you had. You had $150, now you only have $70. A wallet? A standard wallet filled? I never heard of such a thing. A kiss is a wallet. No. No, a kiss is a wallet.
Hmm?
Yeah, but that's what the word kiss means. It means wallet. That's what the word they use for wallet. It's a kiss. All right. Tanya Gavase de Rava. And in fact, we learn the way Rava says, not like Abaye, namely, that if the guy says, Kur tvu ali biyadecha, and the other one says, Enlecha biyadi, anything, he's potter. Minora gidola yesh li biyadecha. I gave you a large lamp. And the other one says, no, it was a small lamp. It's minora ktana. He's also potter. Ezora gidola yesh li biyadecha. I gave you a long sash. He says, no, enlecha biyadi ali ezora ktana. Potter. Aval omer lo kur tvu yesh li biyadecha vahala omer enlecha biyadi ala letter. Wasn't a whole kur. It was only a letek, which is a half a kur, 15 zah. Vahala omer, enlecha biyadi ala letek. You would be chayim. Or if you specified a lamp that was 10 litrin in weight, yesh liyadecha. And he says, no, I was only 5 litrin. Then he would be chayim. So the case over here then indicates that we need to have in both direction a clear cut. Mida amishka. Klolo shal davar. So now, the Chiddush of Rava was essentially repeated here, word for word. This is Tanakh Avasid of Rava, except for one problem. The Klolo Shel Davar doesn't seem to be adding anything, asked the Gemara. Klolo Shel Davar la to Yemai. I mean, wouldn't the very thing that the Klolo Shel Davar be adding be the case of Bayit Zeh Malay? I mean, that, now again, How we learn this is naturally dependent on the way we learned the sugya before. If the problem was in Bayitzeh Malay, because Malay is not well enough defined, then this seems to include a case of the Bayitzeh Malay. The difference being now the case of the menorah. So Maishna menorah gdola menorah ktana. And then we would say the b'chora, what it's coming to say is Bayitzeh Malay is not enough. But whether we mean the problem is it's not enough because of the Malay, or because we mean it's not enough because of the response, that's not clear over here. But what about the menorah gidola and menorah ketana, which is not included? If we would say, Lagabi Bayitzeh Malay, that we'd have a Bayit Malay would be big, and a lesser Bayit would be small. The menorah gidola, menorah ketana is a problem because it doesn't fit in here at all. Over there it's ma shetano lo hodalo, or ma shehodalo lo toano. You've got a, you have to separate the two issues over here. One is the amount, but the other is if we're talking across purposes. I mean, if somebody says, I gave you a Shabbos urn, and the other guy says, no, it wasn't a Shabbos urn. It was one of those little electric two-cup things. That's not called Masha Ta'an, that it's Mimin Hata'ana. It's not Mimin. Wait, they said both of them are called kettles, it's Mimin Hata'ana. It's not Mimin. You're talking about one thing, I'm thinking it's another thing. We have nothing in common. So when you talk about a large lamp, and he said, I gave you a table lamp. I gave you a floor lamp. The other guy said, no, it was a little table lamp. That's not considered to be that they're arguing about the same thing. They're arguing about different items. That's chitim and saorim. So if you're including the case of chitim and saorim, so then the same thing should be true, lihachi, bat eser bat chamesh nani, masha ta'ano lo hodalo, masha hodalo lo ta'ano. I mean, so, adding, you set this up in such a confusing way. You may pretend that the issue was mita b'mishkal. You make this klolo shodavar, the meat of a mishkal. Then you include in the cases things that are not problems because of meat of a mishkal. They're problems because they're b'chol not in the same sukkah. And then you turn around, you take the same item of the menorah, and you turn it into a mishu of meat of a mishkal by saying, well, a menorah of 10 and a menorah of 5. Why is that different than a menorah gedol and a menorah ktan? It's all very nice that you gave it a meat of a mishkal, but it still is not mashatan or hodalo. How do you explain that? Mashatano lo hodalo, mashatano lo tano. Amrit Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. No. It's not talking about different size menorahs. It's talking about how much of a menorah. We're talking about a menorah shel chuliyot taskina. He says, I gave you all of the pieces to this assemblable lamp. And you know, you could put on, you add different pieces depending on how high you want it to stand. Now, there were 14 pieces. I said, no, I'm giving you back whatever. There were 10 pieces, so I'm giving you back. Says, I'm absolutely positive there were 14 pieces. I'll show you the instruction manual. So, well, you never gave them to me. Now, this kind of thing happens all the time, as you know.
The instruction manual said 18 pieces.
So over there, what it's saying is, okay, now that is a clear-cut amount, and that is considered to be mashatan, or of course, odalo. The komoda le mine, you're being moda in it. Come on, I mean, if that's what it's talking about, so then you could have said the same thing about the Ezora. You could say, we're talking about a zipperable Ezora, and depending on how much you eat, you could zipper in another piece of the sash and wrap it around another time. I mean, we're talking about a lamp that you can be put together, so why can't we talk about, pieces that you zip on, of a belt? I mean, why not? The expandable belt too. And yet we don't say that, right? The look me bit of life. Ella, I mean, the reason we don't talk about this case is because of a bit of life. Look, it's not, we don't talk about zipper pieces, okay? So then we don't talk about coolies and a lamp either. Let's be consistent. Ella, Rababa Bar Mamal, you know what the point is? The point is that a menorah, you're right, we're not talking about a menorah shel coolies. But the truth is, I don't necessarily have to be arguing with you about what type of menorah it is when I'm arguing to you about its weight. Because you could certainly theoretically grind the original menorah down. You start off with, you know, a rovar room that has 6 foot walls thick, you know, and 10 feet of floor space, and then you end up with
3,000 later.
Yes. So, how do you know? You didn't just, maybe you simply shaved it down. So, yocholagora v'lamida al-kanesh litrim. See, since that's a theoretical possibility, it's not mashtan al-hodala. And because of that, if it's well-defined, the taina between 10 and 5, so then that's included in this case. That's good for the Chiddush of it.
Yeah.
What did I gain while in the time of the Mishnah look like?
It looked like a little key.
A little fashion. So that was male and not male, could be an objective point. I didn't understand the differentiation where everybody was making.
What is the difference in today's wallet? It also has male and not male.
No, because it has like a shape, it's a sack.
Okay, I don't get it. A wallet, you can say the same. Would you really intelligently say that if a guy says, this wallet was full of coins, and you come back and you say, well,
a bag of marbles, you say this was a full bag and this was not a full bag.
Okay, but you haven't told me. What are you talking about? Marbles? Are you talking about $100 bills? Are you talking about, what are you talking about?
Gold coins or silver coins? Malay,
not Malay. Okay, all right, there. Yes, the Gemara doesn't see it that way.
If the person were to say this piece was full of 1987 silver pieces,
it still wouldn't matter.
That's
because mole doesn't have any definition.
The expression in English is buying a pig in a poke, which literally means buying a pig in a bag. And it means that you buy something. You don't know how. You've no idea. You see the bag. You've no idea really what you're buying.
But you don't care
what's not.
Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we'll just have to take the Gemara's word for it that there's no such thing as a full wallet. Full wallets are very, very vague kind of idea. Says the Mishnah, Hamalves chavero al hamashkon, the avad hamashkon. And here we have a case in which it's when the person takes the loan, there was a mashkon given. Now that mashkon creates chiyuvim of shmira on the lender. Now we've got two people that are in a position of yitzchayvut of one to the other. The mashkon gets lost, which means that the lender is responsible for that loss. Now, he says to the borrower, Omarlo, sela helvitiyaka, lava, I lent you a sela, and yes, I'm really sorry for losing your mashkon, but your mashkon was only worth a shekel, which is half of the sela. And the other guy says, no, excuse me, my mashkon was worth the full sela. Sela helvitani, I love the sela yashaveh, I'm not paying you back a dime. So in that case, he's potter because he's a kofer bako. Sela helvitiyaka, lava, v'shekel, Hayashaveh. V'hal omer lo, ki ala sela helvitani ala v'shlosha dinarim. Hayashaveh. Suppose, however, they're arguing about, one of them says it was worth a shekel, which is a half a sela. And the other one says it was worth three dinarim, which is three quarters of a sela. Now they're arguing about the extra half of the shekel. So then, hayah, because this is a classic case of motive and mitzvah. Sela helvitani ala v'shtayim hayashaveh. How about if the borrower is now claiming money? He said, you know, I gave you my watch, which was worth two sela, and you only lent me one sela. Now you owe me money. V'hala omer, and the lender says, lo, ki ala sela yelviticha, ala v'sela yashaveh. I lent you the sela because it was worth a sela. So then it would be potter because it's kofer b'kol. Sela yelvitani ala v'shtayim hayashaveh. Where the guy tines it was worth two, and the other one says, well, I mean, it was worth a little bit more than the sela, but certainly wasn't worth two selayim. It was worth chamisha dinarim. So it was worth a... it was worth a sela now and a quarter. Hayashaveh. So then he would be chayav. But the question here is mi nishba. Who does the swearing in this case? And we'll see what in this case means. Resha, sefer, so on. And we'll get to it in the Gemara, what the issue is over here. Misha pikadon etzlo. The one who holds the pikadon should be doing the swearing. Because in the other event, shema yishavazeh, v'yotzi hala et ha-pikadon. If the other person swears who is not in possession of the pikadon, then he is actually liable to have been entrapped. In other words, because suppose the lender wants to discredit this person. So he tells him, you know, I lost your mashka. It was worth the whole thing, but that's all. And he says, no, what are you talking about? It was worth a lot of money in it. So he says, all right, so if the other guy is going to swear, again, depending on what the case was. I mean, in this case, Lechora, he would be the one that has to swear, because he's the one that's the person who's being toveya. But in the other case, the person that would be swearing would be the borrower, where he's timing that he still owes the money. The borrower says, no, it was worth a lot of money. It was worth all value of the loan, right? Almost all value of the loan. So in that case, if the person swears, and he knows he's going to swear, then he says, oh, I just wanted to see if you would do that. Here's your lousy watch. Right? So now this person, now he's passed him from Adis, he's passed him from Shvua, and we don't like to do that kind of thing. Right? So we'll discuss why we wouldn't like to do that kind of thing in a moment. But
Which person is
possible? Maybe Shvua, right. So we don't want an entrapment kind of Shvua. That's our rationale. The Tosus disagrees with this, because why would we make a takona for a Rosha? I mean, if the guy's ready to lie, so we should make a takona, have the other guy make a Shvua in order that he shouldn't be put into a matzav of entrapment. I mean, if he wants to lie, so, therefore, Tosus is the problem over here is that we never create a situation in which it will be publicly evident that a shvua was falsely taken. There's more of a getter of not being mezalzal in the shvua. It's not to protect the person, it's protecting the chashivas of a shvua. Now, as far as what Rashi, it's clear when Rashi explains it, Rashi says the point over here, shema lo dikdek b'shuma, that when a person is in a matzav in which he's up against the wall with his money, he's not really sure exactly what it was. But he first makes the assumption, I think it was worth a lot of money, and then that assumption becomes clear to him, which is the general way that things work. Yeah, it was definitely worth a lot of money. And then, now he's put in a position where he has to swear, he's already sure that that's what the situation was. Not that he set out l'chatchila. I mean, after all, the other guy was the mashal. Not that he set out l'chatchila to be put into a kind of position where he was going to get away with anything. And so in the middle, that's not considered to make a takana for Russia. It's making a takana for human psychology. This is the way mind works. Makes assumptions, and then those assumptions become realities to the person, and then he's going to swear based on that assumption.
That was, of course, the motive case, that issue of
Well,
which one are you?
Yes, but not all of them are entrapment cases.
Yeah, but that you just said wasn't about the entrapment.
Is it the entrapment?
I mean, he doesn't know he's being trapped, so that.
No, but the lender knows that he's trapping you.
And he's the one who is doing the actual entrapment, isn't he the Russia?
No. Entrapment isn't the Russia. We're talking about the Shmua, the lion. Yep, it's a Rishus, but it's not the Rishus that we're talking about, the guy with the Shmua. Sure, it's a Rishus. We're talking about over here, the Rishus of lying about the money. That's what the Shmua is about.
I can't tell what that psychology describes anything to do with the entrapment side of it. It's just he's what you said. He wants it to be one thing, and then when he comes to the Shmua.
Okay, but the fact is that if he takes such a Shmua, he's going to be possible aidist.
Yes.
We're not going to use, we're not going to use this psychological analysis to say, well, he didn't really mean it. But when it, right, so when we make the chishuv as to who it's gedai to protect, we'll take into consideration your psychological weaknesses.
Right.
That's not called making a takana for a Russia.
That's what you say, that person that says, the entrapper, the statement of the entrapper creates the person's psychology. That's what.
That's true too. And it's all part of it. I mean, despite the fact that if he'll go through it, he is a Russia.
Is there anything not to be entrapped for? I mean, for doing so, for setting up the court like that?
No. We're telling him he's a bad boy, maybe. Possibly.
It's a form of perjury. You would be perjuring the court if he didn't have it in the court.
Well, he can always come back and say, I found it. It doesn't have to be.
It all comes back to me now. I got it here.
Now, this last business about who swears and our reversal of the Shmua, what case was it going on? I mean, it can't be going on the last case, because in the last case, the one that had to swear anyway, Midiraisa, was the lender, right? The last case in the Mishnah was where the borrower wanted money out of the lender by claiming it was worth more. So in that case, then of course, the lender anyway was the one who was going to be, who was mode of a mikzah, so he has to swear. So if that's the case, typically, the Shua Gabe Malvo, in any case, one would have to swear Midiraisa. This is the Malva, or my Shmuel Aresha. Indeed, the case that is talks about at the end, who swears, is a reversal of the normal. And it's talking about the case in the ratio where normally the borrower would have to swear because the lender is the one who's asking for more money. And there, here we're putting the shmua on the lender in order to prevent it from bringing out the mashtim. By the way, when we say on the ratio, of course, the case we're referring to is the last case of the ratio, the safe of the ratio, namely, the case where the guy says, Sela hil viticha lav, I lent you a sela, and it was only worth a half a sela, a shekel, and the other guy says, no, you lent me a sela, but it was worth 3 dinarim, so it was worth 3/4 of the sela, and then the chiyav of the shvua mikra din is by the love. Come along the rabbonim, v'shaklua rabbonim mi love. They take the shvua away from the love, the shadyu amalva, and they put it instead on the malva in order to avoid this entrapment problem. But now, says the Gemara, now that Rav Ashi has come along and made it so that the Kaimel on Zenishba Sheinab Rishuto, the Zenishba Kama Shaveh, now the case over there is talking about where somebody who would have been Chayev on Geneva anyway, Shomer Socher, says that something was stolen. Now, this is a pretty common situation in a library book. Somebody wants to keep the book. He claims the book was stolen. He's perfectly willing to pay for it. Because he can't get this book anywhere else, right? I mean, you've all been tempted sorely, correct? So now, how do we know that a Shomer who says, oh, it's terrible, it was stolen, but, you know, of course it's my responsibility, he takes out his wallet to pay. So how do we protect the guy from such a case? So we make the person swear that Shvua she'ina b'rishuti. I swear that it's not in my rishus. Now, the question that we asked on him was from our Mishnah, because the Pikadon essentially is just that case. How do we know that the lender hasn't decided he wants to keep that Pikadon? He likes that one. So that means I'll leave it to Rav Ashi. He would have had to swear that it's Einam Bershuti in terms of his own situation, his own Kiev, right? But once he swears it's Einam Bershuti, he can't possibly take it out and trap the other guy. So we ask him, Rav Ashi, so I understand. Here it says that we have to reverse the Shvua because he's going to take it out. And I mean, how do you understand the Mishnah? There's obviously no such halacha. And Rav Ashi ended up explaining over there, they both have to swear. One of them swears that it's Einam Bershuti, and the other one swears how much it was worth. And now he understands, so what was the Mishnah saying? Hachika Amar. Minish Batechila. Who's the first one to take the Shvuah? And that's what the Mishnah says. The one who goes first is Misha Pikadon Etzlov. He has to swear it's not Brishuti. Once he swears it's not Brishuti, then the other one can swear how much it's worth. But it's not that we took the Shvuah away from the other guy and put it on this guy. The correct way of understanding the Mishnah Limit of Rashi, both of them are making a Shvuah. The borrower is going to be making the normal shvuah of the motive of mixes miniraisa, and the Mishnah is only coming to point out that the lender should be the one to make the first shvuah, which is that it's Einam Rishuti, before we make the other guy swear that it was worth whatever he claims it was worth. Why? Because if we do it in the other way, Shamba Yishavazev Yotzi Halat Epikadol, if he has to take in the shvuah, yes, so then he can trap the guy. Because it would be absurd, and if he would, once he makes the shvua, then it's Einam Rishuti Tzav. He'll make a shvua, Einam Rishuti Tzav, and then say, oh, I happen to find it.
Unless there's a friend that he brought it.
Why should he make it? I mean, he's not said something to Rishuti. He said he lost it. He might be there something.
That's what Einam Rishuti means. Einam Rishuti means that I have no access to this thing. But this is sufficient protection. Well, obviously, it's not as good as being Mefik the shvua, but Mefik the shvua is a very big thing to do. Oh, my shvua. I'm on the Osfei Alpha Zuzel Akavriu Mishkin and Tata de Magla. A guy who takes a loan of $1,000 and he gives as a mashkan for his $1,000 a handle of a sickle, which is worthless. It's worth a half a dollar, whatever, right? Now, obviously, the point that he was making over here in giving this was not to that it should be worth the value of his loan, but it would be the mode by which the person would be collecting the loan. It's the mashkin for this loan. And essentially, I mean, until you pay up your whole loan, you don't get back your kata de magla. Says Shmuel, avat kata de magla, avat alfa zuzi. In having taken that as the mashkin for his loan, then what he was doing is he was accepting that his responsibility for it was that this is his loan. If he doesn't have the katra magla, then he can't be tovea his loan anymore. Rashi learns that that means under any circumstances. Tosus and Rabbi Hanano learned that it's talking about where that was specified. That this is the only way that I can collect the loan. And the chiddush of Shmuel is that we don't view that as an esmachta. Normally I would say it's an esmachta, and that's ridiculous, right? Which we'll see. I mean, we'll see later on that some machlokas, Rabbi Yezim, Rabbi Yosha, and Rabbi Akiva, we'll see the way that Tosfos learns that machlokas in terms of esmachta. There's other possibilities as well. And, which means, by the way, I mean, is that we have to break away from our Western vision of what a mashkin is. In the Torah, mashkin is clearly not simply a mode by which I insure my money, because, I mean, otherwise this whole thing is ridiculous. The mashkan becomes, and we know from all of the sugyas about the lechatz yetzdaka and so on and so forth, which we'll be talking about later, tomorrow, that the element of a mashkan is that it somehow embodies the loan. It becomes not an exchange for a loan. I mean, it gives you certain kinyanim in it. No, it's more than a receipt. If it were, if the truth is that there are mashkanos that are receipts. In other words, you could view this as a case of a mashkan that's a receipt. And we'll see that this is dependent on how we learn a little later. The mashkan simply being there is a zichron dvarim. What am I doing with your katra magla? Well, you gave it to me. But then, if you would have written out a shtar on this loan and also given it, then you couldn't possibly say it's for a receipt, because then the shtar would be your ultimate receipt. We're going to see what the case is, Lagabe shtar as well, coming up. So, in this case, Shmuel kind of said the whole thing of a katana magla, of an alpha zuzi. Avotate kati, if you give two handles of magal, then we certainly don't say we prorate it, because there's nothing to do with the value. As long as there's something that's left for you to collect your loan with, so if you gave him 100 bottle caps and there's one bottle cap left, and that bottle cap is the thing that he uses to collect his loan.
But if two of them are lost.
If both of them are lost, then you're not going to know. I feel tired, Kati. The point over here would be that each one secures half the loan. Avat chada, avat chameshmea, avat idach, avat kule. Certainly we wouldn't talk about if somebody gives something that's valuable, so he gives a bar of silver plus a kata. Now over there, the bar of silver, it seems quite clear that the bar of silver is meant to be used for payment, not, you know, I mean, the kata may be used as some kind of assurance, but you're certainly not going to say, well, you've got two things, you lose the silver, you lose half, you lose the kata, you lose half. I mean, over there, the silver, certainly whatever the silver is worth, they're not...
Why would you do that?
It's the old alien story. Yeah. Except that what he's doing is he seems to be, I mean, the truth is Tosis has three different approaches to this. So, I mean, the question is whether he intends to do different things or whether there's a multiple levels of Tashlumin, and that's why it would be in either, or it just means that it doesn't mean that it's supposed to be non-prorated like Rav Nachman's case, earlier case, in which, well, each thing is connected to half the loan. In which case, if I lost the one thing that was worthless, it could mean that it's even worth a lot, but not worth in terms of this. But then it would mean I lost half the loan, because I gave you two separate things to collect. It would mean I lost the value, whatever that part is. Because here, clearly, I do intend to ensure your value, not just to ensure your ability to collect. Whereas Rav Nardoi Taina, Afilu Katavanaska, Avanatka Avatalga, Avatkata, Avatkula. Here too, the Natka and the Kata would both equal the value of the loan. And you can see in the way that we created it here, in that if first the Natka is lost, and then the Kata is lost, which is Mashka, then the other direction, the Kata is lost, and Natka, whatever the Natka is worth, is still going to be collectible. I mean, obviously, if it's more than that, it's still going to be collectible. Sounds good. It's not. Selah yel viticha alav. V'shekel hayashav. Now, how is Shmuel exactly going to learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah says the guy kind of, the thing you gave me was only worth a shekel. And again, it's a whole big argument of how much it was worth. Halom alo, kele selah yel vitani alav shloshad dinarina yashav hayat. I understand why, according to Shmuel, he should just say to him, listen, buddy, you lost my mashka, and there goes your loan. Goodbye. Lema le hatzad yilte. What did he just say? You accepted it, and that's the end of it. Because according to Shmuel, there's no such case, right? No. Masnisin, a bit of porridge. The Mishnah is talking about where he was Mefarish. Now, there's different Girsaot, because according to Rabbeinu Kanano's Girsa, and the Rabbeinu Tan's Girsa was the exact opposite. Whereas Shmuel is talking about where he was Mefarish. And that's the only case where he would have said such a thing, that the time you make the loan, you say, look, you know, you're going to take this mashkin. If anything happens to mashkin, that's your loan. That's it. That's where Shmuel had made the deal. Shmuel didn't say stam the way Rashi is learning, according to the Girsa we have, that Shmuel saying, well, in any case, if you made such a ridiculous arrangement of giving the guy a bottle cap for a loan, and then clearly that bottle cap represents the loan, that far Shmuel wouldn't have gone. And Mamela Rashi would have to say the way we have it over here, that Shmuel is Kikarma Shmuel, but a low pirish, the Mishnah being bit of pirish, means that you go out of your way to say, I do not intend to have this being the sole source of my collecting ability. I only mean it as a receipt. So if he means it as a receipt, then of course Shmuel is going to say that you're going to be able to cancel the loan because you lost the receipt. If your motive, there was a loan, so pay me my loan. Okay, halacha l'maisa, there's a major machlokas how to paskin. First of all, b'chalal, whether we paskin like Shmuel in this case, which is a big machlokas rishonim. And if we do paskin like the Ramah, who tain is we do paskin like Shmuel against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like Shmuel. But also paskin like Shmuel only aliba the Rabbi Natan. In other words, that if a person had made a tznai, it's not considered to be an esmachta, and there's a responsibility to get back that mashkin. If he doesn't have to lose the mashkin, then that tznai remains the loan is batel. So again, depending on how you learn, you might have to reverse the words over here. But the question is whether it's the Matznisim bit of Pirish and Kikama Shmuel bit of low Pirish, where Rashi would learn, or vice versa, that Shmuel is a bit of Pirish at the time that he made the loan, was the Mishnah talking about bit of low Pirish, and therefore when the guy laughs, it would be crazy. You think I took something that was worth half the loan and gave you a loan based on it. And that's a very reasonable approach. And then the whole thing begins to make sense, of course. It's talking about that they made it sign in the beginning. Lema ketanoi. So apparently, the issue in Shmuel seems to be machlokas tanoi. Ha-malvecha ve'ral ha-mashkon. Ve'avad ha-mashkon, yishava, ve'yitolet no'otav, ve'rabi yishmur. Look, the guy can swear as to its value, and take the money. This is assuming that there's protection over here against the other guys who shouldn't be in track, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yochululoma, Klumi Ovitani, Alana Mashkon. Why? Why can't the guy say, you made the loan on my Mashkon? What's the difference what the Mashkon is worth? Avada Mashkon, Avdu Melotecha. It's overs. You lost it. Aval Hamalda, Elev Zuz, Bishtar, somebody who lends with a star. And then in Yagmashkon Biyado, in that case, Divrei Hakol about Hamashkon Abdu Meota. In that case, everybody would agree because, as we pointed out before, you could always view a Mashkon as being just a mode of guaranteeing that the guy won't say it never happened because I have your watch. What do you mean it never happened? But I'm not coming to use your watch to collect. But certainly in a case where the man has a shtar, so what's the point of taking the watch? He must have taken the watch to ensure payment. Now, it's still not clear over here. It's still not clear over here whether we're talking about that he took a mashkin that was worth a loan or he wasn't worth a loan, and how we get into the machlokas of Shmuel. But since tomorrow's daf is quite brief, and if we get to the end of it, we'll finish tomorrow's daf, we had best stop here at the middle of the session.